Welcome to The Connected Life. The Connected Life with hosts Travis and Carrie Fry is all about helping you live a more connected life. They want you more connected to God, self, spouse, family, community, and to the world at large. It is their belief that the more connected you are, the holier and healthier you will be. So stay tuned to The Connected Life with your hosts Travis and Carrie Fry as they explore all facets of what it means to live the connected life.
Welcome to The Connected Life on Family Values Radio 1010 KXXT. I'm your host, Christian counselor Travis Fry, joined by my wife and co-host Carrie Fry.
We're a husband and wife team that together combine our training in both psychology and theology and our real life experience to bring you The Connected Life.
The Connected Life is all about intimately connecting with and loving both God and others. And so if you were with us last week, we talked about the whole process of how to work through hurts that occur in marriage. The whole process of turning hurts into forgiveness. Mm-hmm. We talked about how there's minor hurts, there's major hurts. Minor hurts are the smaller hurts that probably happen almost every day or at least once or twice a week in most marriages. They're like the little scratches or cuts that couples have that do need to be dealt with. Sometimes, especially in more secure marriages and relationships, those minor hurts, they don't need to be talked about at all. Couples or individuals within a relationship can kind of manage those and deal with those when they know that they're securely connected. Their spouse really loves them. They have that anchor to keep them steady. So we talked about major hurts too, which are the bigger hurts and the hurts that really start to change the dynamics of the relationship from being a place of trust and safety more into a place where you don't know if you can rely on the other person or you can depend on them. Are they going to be there for you? And it really starts to breed disconnection and distance mm-hmm. in the relationship. And then one of the points that you had brought out was the whole subjective element to those minor and major hurts.
Right.
Yeah, and basically what that's talking about is just, what might be a minor hurt for us could be a major hurt for another
for another
couple.
Yeah.
And then what could be a major hurt for us, could absolutely be no hurt for any other couple. And that's really based a lot on the history within the marriage mm-hmm. and even a person's individual
personality
mm-hmm. and history, their makeup or their constitution, so to speak. And so we talked about how to deal with minor hurts, major hurts, and we started to share a story where we were dealing with a situation that actually occurred a couple of weeks ago now for us after church on Sunday, where do you want to tell the story for a minor hurt?
Yeah, we just had an argument over after church. Travis had left and didn't tell me he was getting in the car and leaving, and
right.
I was there by myself and I had no idea where I was, and just that kind of situation. And
well, you knew you were in church.
Oh, right. Well, I didn't. I did.
You had no idea.
I knew where I was. I didn't know where you were.
Exactly.
That's an important difference right there.
Right.
So, anyway, I found him with the kids in the car, and it kind of started a little thing where I was saying, well, where were you? What's going on? And he was defensive. Oh, you should have known where I was. And so that kind of a interaction that went on to lunch,
right?
And so
so there was some tension between the two
yeah.
of us, right? We went to lunch
and Travis was
hangry for those who don't know what that means.
It's hungry and angry at the same time. You're so hungry you get angry, but he was Thai hungry. I don't know how. You were tired
to make,
too.
Yes,
he was trying
to make a new word.
He didn't get enough sleep, so he
right.
needed his nap.
So tired, hangry, all of the above. And so I don't know exactly what happened, but something with the chips and the salsa or something
yeah.
to that effect, where
it blew up a bit.
Yeah.
And Travis is pretty calm most of the time, but it kind of got where it was a little embarrassing in the restaurant. He wasn't yelling, but he was very firm, right, honey?
I was firm, had a tone in my voice.
I was talking about this plate, not that plate, right?
Right. Yeah. So we could make a short story longer here.
Yeah,
we can make a long story short. I don't know which way we want to go.
Let's go quick. But anyway, that was a little thing. You know, he just needed his nap. He went home and took his nap. And, you know, there, even at the restaurant, we talked about it a little bit, just saying, look, I wasn't accusing you, but you can tell me how. If you're leaving somewhere, just say, hey, and we're going to the car. Something like that would be helpful. And, you know, we worked through it. And I think that was kind of one of those things where it's just a little cut. You just wash it off and put a Band-Aid on and it'll be fine because we're pretty healthy otherwise.
Right. You don't let it fester.
Right.
Because both of us could feel the tension.
Right.
And that's the worst place to be, right, is when you, I think for me, and I think for you too, and I would venture to say for most couples, that place of tension, you know that things are not okay, right? You're just not feeling safe, or you're just not feeling connected, or you're just that kind of anger, frustration that's there. So we ventured into the conversation. I think we, once things kind of calmed down, right, and able to take a look inside and talk mm-hmm. about.
Travis got his burrito.
We got food. Right, so he took care of the basic necessities
right.
before you take care of like the emotional things. But you know, that's just an example of, you know, you talk it through, you work it through. It doesn't become this huge, major argument now and fight where, you know, you go for the next few hours where there's, you know, distance and tension in the house. So
right.
you
so
talk it through.
It was something we could just, you know, wash off and put a Band-Aid on in the minor. So, but there's other things where you need major surgery, and
right.
it's a big deal. And so we talked about how there's minor and major hurts. And so a major hurt most of the time comes with a lot of anxiety. It's around a lot of anxiety. So a stressful situation
right.
or just a big change in life, like a birth,
like
a death,
transitional period.
A transition. Yeah. Something that is a huge, something that's stressful.
Life events,
a
right?
big life event, a right. big change.
A lot of times it's where people are just more vulnerable.
Yeah. When there's a lot of vulnerability and the
right.
person feels, like they can't do it alone and they're mm-hmm. looking for that extra support from a spouse. And so that's when, if it's not there, that can be a major.
It can turn into like a major hurt
major
where
hurt.
Mistrust and fear and distance, disconnection start to take root in a relationship.
Mm-hmm.
And we talked about the pattern that couples fall into when there has been like a major hurt. Or even like several small minor hurts that tend
that
to build
up
that
yeah,
people
that
don't
can happen too.
Right, that people don't know how to work through in a successful manner. But real briefly, that pattern is, well, maybe we can
yeah, let's
talk about
the
pattern.
It while we go through our
yeah, because we fell into that pattern
right.
with one of our major hurts that happened in our relationship.
Yeah, and this is one of the reasons why we got into, well, why Travis got into attachment and EFT is looking for a way to bring healing in this to
yeah.
our marriage, right?
Yeah, and just for those who don't know what those two terms mean, attachment is basically, it's a theory that talks about distress in relationships. And the way that works is that it's all about connection and safety and security.
Mm-hmm.
You know, when we don't have that sense that our spouse is there with us, that we can reach out to them and connect with them, then oftentimes, you know, we end up feeling abandoned, rejected,
mm-hmm.
alone, isolated, those types of things. Mm-hmm. And EFT is just a model of therapy that I use. It's called emotionally focused couples therapy. But
right.
So to your point, that's how I came to these tools to really help us through one of our major times.
Right. And Ours, well, one of them that we'll talk about is centered around the birth of our second son.
Right.
We had our first son. We had kind of some drama. They weren't sure if my placenta was healthy. They were going to have him induced. And I was hoping to have a natural childbirth. And so we ended up doing the induction with our first child. And so from that, it was stressful. I didn't want to have another birth like in that same way. I didn't like the whole induction idea. And so I had some hopes for our second child to do things a little different.
Mm-hmm.
And so when our second son came around to being born, that's when one of our major hurts came about.
Right.
So what happened was he was due about the same time that Travis had a conference. Is that what it was? A conference?
Or a training.
A training, yeah. Mm-hmm. For a counselor's training for, I think, some anger management, something like that.
It was grief training.
No, grief. Mm-hmm. Okay. So anyway, he had this training he wanted to do and he thought was really important. Well, it just happened to be the same time that our son was due to be born. And so he really was pushing for me to be induced early so that he could go to the training and not worry about missing the birth of our son. So, of course, that came into conflict with my hope to not have to do an induction a second time and to have a more natural childbirth. And so my desires to have him there and to not have to go through the whole birthing process without him, or to not be able, we actually only had one car at the time.
Yeah.
Yeah. So then there was that, well, if he's got the car and I'm at home, how am I even going to get to the hospital?
That's a facet that I completely forgot.
Yeah. So, there were a bunch of things that kind of came along with that. So I felt a lot of pressure to be induced.
Right.
Even though it wasn't my desire.
Like to do it on this time frame.
To do it on Travis's dynamics. Time frame and make sure that the birth was before he. And so inside, you know, I'm pregnant and emotional and my brain never works 100%, but when I'm pregnant, it was probably more like 25%. But I knew, and I still stand by. I think that being able to allow a child to be born when they're ready to is probably a safer way to go, you know.
And it's about having like control in the situation, or like not feeling like this is being dictated to you.
Yes.
And, right.
Yes.
Right.
Yeah.
And doing it the way you wanted to do it.
Right.
You know.
Yeah. And being able to be in control of my own body. I
exactly.
mean, not that it's really in control, but and then some of it was like, okay, well, this is a natural thing. Why can't I let God decide when he's born instead of me doing, you know, forcing it? And so it came down to it. We had the option to induce, and it was planned out. My parents were excited about him being born. They had my youngest son or my oldest son, watching him. So I was supposed to go in and get induced. Everybody wanted me to do it.
So there's like a lot of pressure on you.
Right. There's a lot of pressure.
Yeah.
Everybody wanted me to go in and have this baby except me. I didn't feel ready. I didn't want to do it.
Mm-hmm.
So we went through this that whole night. Like, okay, I'm supposed to go and have this baby. I don't want to be forced into it. I want to have a natural, you know, birth started at least, you know.
Yeah.
So I said, no, I'm not going to do it. I'm going to stay home. I don't have to do this right now. My mind was thinking, oh, I'm going to let God decide when the baby's born. And if Travis isn't there, oh, well, it's up to God, right? But and Travis was okay with that. You seem to be okay.
Right.
But as soon as that happened and I said no, there was just huge anxiety put over me, and I think it was like a spiritual warfare type thing,
right,
too. Like I really felt oppressed, and I had basically a panic attack,
right,
feeling that, well, if I don't do this now, what if something happens to my baby in the next, you know, few days, and it's my fault that this happened? And
yeah, so a lot of fear.
There was a huge amount of fear,
right,
and then just feeling the pressure from everyone. Everyone's going to be disappointed in me, and
right,
and Travis isn't going to be there, and I'm going to be on my own. And what if I can't get to the hospital in time? And what if I have no way to, you know, what if? And then the birth is dangerous, and
yeah,
I'm by myself. And
so it was,
you know,
all of these like catastrophic,
all
what
the catastrophic
ifs and
fears
and anxiety and worry.
And so I gave into that, and yeah, I said, okay, let's go, and I'll get induced because I don't want to be by myself in this. And we did. We went to the hospital. I was induced. It was a horrible experience.
Yeah.
And I'm sure that many of you out there have gone through that induction, but the pain is so much more than when you would have a natural childbirth. And I know that now because our daughter, we had a natural, and I got to have our third child at home and did a completely natural childbirth.
Right.
So
which was a big part of
the
overall
process.
Healing process.
Yeah.
Right.
So it was a horrible experience, but I got a beautiful baby out of it, and
right,
he was healthy, and everything was very, very good for a while. But there was that lingering abandonment feeling, and that no one was on my side.
Right.
Travis wasn't on my side. He was against me, and that I was forced into doing something that I didn't want to do, and that it wasn't necessarily that I was abandoned, but that threat of abandonment.
Right.
Like, if you don't do this when I want you to, I will not be there for you.
Right.
And I am not going to be able to be at this birth. And if you don't do it now, you will not have someone to support you.
Mm.
And then just that threat that was there, and that lingering, like, okay, is he going to pull that love from me another time? Is
yeah,
it always going to be there, or do I have to live up to his expectations in order to
yeah,
earn
that?
Like that love?
Not wanting to disappoint
mm-hmm,
me
mm-hmm,
and like disappoint other people that
mm-hmm,
were kind of putting the pressure there too.
Right.
Right. So a lot of emotions going on. Let me just say that if you're just tuning in, you're listening to The Connected Life with Travis and Carrie Fry on Family Values Radio. To learn more about us, you can visit us on our Facebook page at www.facebook.com/The Connected Life Radio. Or if you're looking for counseling help, you can visit our website at counselingphoenixscottsdale.com. Or you can also call us at 623-680-3486. Right now, Carrie and I are talking about forgiveness and how to work through minor hurts and major hurts. And we're sharing our story where a major hurt occurred between the two of us,
right,
and how we moved into a place of forgiveness.
So maybe you could talk about your
yeah, so
thoughts
so on my side, you know, some of the pressure that I was feeling that I in turn kind of put on you was I was just starting Crossroads, you know, so
right,
just starting the brand new business, really feeling having another baby on the way, so our second child, and really feeling the burden to make sure that I'm doing what I think is part of my job, which is to provide.
Mm-hmm.
And this training that was coming up was something that at the time I really felt like I needed to give me more training, more skills, more expertise that's going to ultimately help me in this new business venture that I was starting, that I needed to get done so we were going to be okay financially. And I was going to make sure I'm taking care of you and I'm taking care of now our two sons together. And so that's where I was coming from in that situation. And I remember that after our son was born and the months that followed from that, you would bring up that this whole experience that we went through, and you would talk about it, and we would try to talk about it together, but we ended up, I think misunderstanding each other more than really understanding one another.
It was defending sides. It was like, well, I wanted this, and you're like, well, this was better. I needed to do this, and it was that defensive one on against each other, right?
Yeah, I love that you said that. It was a lot of explanations mm-hmm. and defending mm-hmm. and not hearing and understanding, and not a lot of hearing the emotion.
Right.
It was explaining and not.
Well,
emotion.
I think I would talk about emotion, but you not necessarily. You would be more like, well
the emotion
you feel
of
that
anger.
Way. Yeah, you would have anger.
And frustration, uh-huh. right? Part of the defensiveness.
Frustration a lot, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, because I was hearing your experience and how you felt in mm-hmm. that situation. And what came up for me was I didn't realize it at the time. But what was happening for me was just a lot of feelings of shame, mm-hmm. a lot of feelings of guilt, and this whole experience of, wow, like I really hurt you, like I really let you down and disappointed you, and like
but you
many,
would never say that to me that you thought that or
that never came
I
out
don't
in
think
the conversation.
You were even thinking
it was, well, I had to do this, and like I have a lot of pressure on me, mm-hmm. and I had to go to this training. Mm-hmm. It was all the explanations and the defensiveness. What you didn't get was the emotional access
right.
to where I was, and because I was defensive, and because I was so full of shame, and kind of lost in my own process, mm-hmm. I couldn't hear you,
right?
And I couldn't see you, mm-hmm. and just hear that you talking about this wasn't you attacking me or trying to make me feel worse. It was you actually trying to reach out to me and say, "Hey, like I needed you then. I felt like you weren't there." But I'm also needing you right now,
right.
and I still can't reach you because mm-hmm. now we're stuck in this pattern. Mm-hmm. I still feel alone and hurt and isolated. I think that was a big part of
right.
how you experienced it.
Right.
Yeah.
And trying to test whether, are you really going to be there if I need you another time?
Right.
Like, or are you going to leave or
right.
pull away again? Or yeah.
And that's the nature of a major hurt. It's that it changes the connection or the security in the relationship. So those questions come up inside, which mm-hmm. is, are you really going to be there? Can I really depend on you and rely on you?
Right.
So we did find our way through this event. It was when I was able to really move past my shame and realize that you were not just blaming me, but you were reaching out for me. And I think when you were able to see my heart and I was finally able to really connect to you in your abandonment, really, in your mm-hmm. loneliness, and you knew that at last I finally understood, we were able to break through
yeah.
and connect.
I think Travis went to an EFT conference and started learning about the emotionally focused therapy.
Right.
And he came home and they were talking about how so many couples had wounds regarding birth experiences.
Right. It made sense.
And he was right. like, he came home and he's like, I know that we've got this womb that we need
right.
to talk about.
I can see it, right? Mm-hmm. And I have a way of being able to help us through it. And having gone through it, also have a way of being able to help other couples
yeah.
go through it as well. And so if that's you, if you can relate to this story that we're sharing, and if there's a hurt that you're dealing with, just connect with us. You can go to counselingphoenixscottsdale.com, or you can call us for a free 20-minute phone consultation at 623-680-3486. And we want you guys to get connected, stay connected, and have a great week. Thank you.